Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents Betches Moms, with hosts Aileen Drexler and Brittany Levine. Get ready to lock yourself in the bathroom or wherever else you hide from your kids, because you'll literally never be alone again.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Moms podcast. I'm Brittany, and this week Aileen is in California for the U Up live show, so we have a very special guest. My husband, Noah. Welcome.
Hey, what's up?
So this is Noah's first podcast, and I'm excited. I feel like we're literally sitting face-to-face right now, and I feel like we're about to have a face-off.
This is a little awkward, but yeah, excited. I've never been on a podcast, so let's go.
It's not going to be awkward. It'll be fun. I feel like we're on like a game show, and we have to like ask each other questions about each other and like see how well we know them. Like, that's how I feel right now.
Well, it's a game show in this house every day, so we're good.
I don't think we don't like really talk about like our marriage relationships too much on the show. So I don't think I ever really spoke about how we met. But do you want to tell the story of how we met?
Sure. You're probably correct me, but I'll try. I guess we met through essentially mutual friends, I think at one point, right? So I knew John, your sister's now husband.
Yeah, but I don't know how we actually, like, we knew each other, but I don't know how we knew each other.
It was through your sister and John is really what it came down to.
Okay.
It wasn't your sister. I knew John through other friends in Plainview, where we live now, and people who grew up here, that where John grew up, right? That's where that's where he comes from. And because of that, I ultimately, once he started dating Melanie, right, then I think we met through that connection.
Yeah, I guess. That's how we like met as like friends.
That's how we met. And I remember we were sort of friendly, and I remember talking to you at your cousin's wedding.
Yeah.
Who my best friend, one of my best friends, is married to.
Right.
And then ultimately the two of them set us up a couple of years later.
Right. So we knew each other. We were friends, and we would always like bump into each other. And I feel like I've told you this, like there have been times like I bumped into you in the bar, and in my head I'd be like, oh, he's cute, I'd hook up with him.
Yeah, I don't really remember that, probably for good reason, if we were in a bar in Long Beach. But I don't think I ever really thought anything of it. I always thought you were cute, and I knew you were creative, and you were an artist, and that was one thing I always remembered about you. And then once we were set up, I felt just immediately drawn to you.
That's like the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
That's true.
Guys, this podcast is going to be really good for us. Okay. We met, we got married. So we're about to celebrate our sixth wedding anniversary. And we were together for 3 years before we got married. So we've been together for almost 10 years.
Yep. Got engaged after a year and a half.
Yeah, we got engaged after a year and a half. When you know, guys. And then I feel like we never really like discussed having kids. Like, we were never like, okay, so like, how many kids do you want? Well, I want this many kids. Like, I feel like
it was just like understood.
It was understood. We both wanted kids. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like we probably discussed like when we were ready. Do you remember that?
Not really. I think it came up. Well, no. I mean, I don't know. Remember if we like sat down and discussed it. I feel like once we started looking for another place to live, when we knew we were sort of like ready to migrate out of the city.
Yeah.
And I feel like once we considered an apartment on Long Island to like take that step, I feel like we both sort of knew that that meant that soon after we would probably start trying. I don't know if we like discussed like how soon after we wanted to start trying. Yeah.
I feel like we would always, I actually like kind of remember now, like before, like we literally got pregnant the month we moved into our new apartment in Long Island. And we looked for a place that we would have space for a baby. And I remember, but I remember like us trying before we moved to Great Neck. But then like, we were like kind of like whatever about it. And like, but we were like saying, and I remember when we like actually got pregnant, I was like, holy shit, like this is real. Like this is actually like not an idea anymore. Like this is happening.
Yeah, I feel like we didn't know how soon after we'd start trying. Yeah. I feel like once we were in the apartment and we had the extra space, I think it just felt right to start. And then, like, you know, thankfully, you know, and this is not everyone's experience, but thankfully we were able to get pregnant fast. Yeah.
Right. That was because we started because we were like, we don't know if it's going to take a long time. So I think it happened more quickly than we expected. So we were like very like, oh my God, wait. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah. And it made you go buy like 5 more tests at the store.
Yeah. Noah was on, weren't you on your way to Toronto for work?
I was on my way to go into the office for the day. And from the office, I was going to leave to go to Toronto for a business trip.
Yeah.
And I was like rushing out the door and you were taking a test. And I was just like not, you know, I knew nothing about it. Yeah. Like, I didn't know like, you know, how quickly you can test for being pregnant. And I was just like, come on, like, how long is it going to take? And I was trying to rush out the door. And then once it said pregnant, I dropped my bags and I was like, go to CVS, go buy more tests.
Yeah.
And then, like, I just went in a little bit later.
Oh,
and then,
right.
And then I still had to go to the business trip knowing you were pregnant. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there was like not much we could do. It was just, it was exciting. Yeah. It was exciting.
Yeah, what else are you going to do? It's not like we were like, you know, telling the world just yet.
Yeah.
But it definitely felt weird that I had to like leave you for a few days after that.
Yeah, that was weird. Like, do you remember, like, I know as a mom, like, trying to think about my life before Oliver and Jack, like, it literally feels like a lifetime ago. I feel like a different person. And, like, I don't, while I, like, miss that time in our life, like, obviously this is so much better with our kids, but what do you, like, do you ever think about, like, your past life before we had kids and just, like, how do you feel about now being a dad?
I think about it a lot because I think, of course we were different people. I mean, but, like, I think internally, I think I was a very different person. And I think for good reason, you know, having, you know, Oliver and kids in general, sort of like it matures you fast.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, and I was, you know, I'm in my 30s. I was in my 30s when we got married and when we had our first kid. And like, I feel like when you don't have kids and you have that freedom, right, you're still living sort of that, like, well, maybe not everyone, but you and I, you know, we still kind of live that, like, you know, party lifestyle, right? We like to go out, we like to sleep in.
Yeah.
And I think that having kids, while it's exhausting as fuck, it's, you know, it was, I mean, everyone says it's a blessing, and it is a blessing. I think that it actually sort of like put me on a better path, I think, mentally. And I don't know, even mentally, emotionally, physically, like, once we found out we were pregnant, you know, as you know, like, something just clicked in my head where I wanted to get my, like, health together.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was working out here and there. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe sometimes it was consistent, sometimes not. Thinking I was eating healthy. We'd basically just, like, you know, eat whatever we wanted on the weekends and whatever. And we were going out. There's definitely a lot more drinking and stuff like that. And I feel like something just clicked where I was just like, I don't.
You wanted to stay healthy. You wanted to make sure that we lived like a healthy lifestyle.
Exactly.
You just, something in your brain turned, like, clicked where you were like, I want to live a healthy lifestyle. I have this child. I want to be my best self.
Correct. I wasn't happy with my weight. I wasn't happy with any like progress or results from like working out. I wasn't happy with even, you know, mental health, things of that nature. And I just wanted to like get my stuff together and, you know, got a personal trainer.
Yeah.
Which I never really done before, you know, and, you know, I started doing that. I changed the way that I ate. And like ever since, that's just how I've been. I've been a little bit neurotic about it too.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't for that news that you were pregnant. Like,
yeah.
It was almost like a reality check. Like, yeah. Something clicked. I was like, I need to like be ready for this. And also like, I want to be there for my family
yeah.
long-term. Right. Yeah. I don't want to like live this, you know, an unhealthy lifestyle yeah. with where other things can come up later on. So yeah. like to answer the question, you know, it really positively impacted me. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, like having kids has its like ups and downs, but like, mm-hmm. you know, it does change your life
yeah,
tremendously.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What do you think the main struggles from when you were a first-time dad and then from when you were a second-time dad?
I think the main struggle for me going from one to two was I legitimately felt concerned that I didn't have enough love left in my body for another human being.
I remember you would say, like, I think in my entire pregnancy, you would say that. You're like, how am I supposed to, like, love a child the way that I love Oliver?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Oliver, our first, is an incredible child.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, everyone's going to say that about their kids, but you love your kids to death and... you know, thinking about another human coming into this life, I was like, I don't know how I could produce more of that
yeah.
for someone else.
Yeah.
And it quickly did very, you know,
yeah.
really fast, right? It's just yeah. as soon as he was born, I mean, it just, yeah. you find it.
Yeah, you find it. I feel like it's similar to like what a lot of moms say. A lot of moms are like, how am I supposed to like give this baby the same amount of attention that I give my first child? I love this baby so much. Like, I don't even know this baby. I think that's like a lot of things that.
Well, you have that like chemical connection.
Well,
like,
that's
you have that,
no,
like,
it's
blood. Like
yeah.
they're in you, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can only imagine like hormones and all that. Like, you feel the baby, and you already feel
it's different.
That sense of responsibility
yeah.
and love. Whereas, like, yeah. I'm just kind of almost like a bystander
on the sidelines,
waiting, you know, waiting, and I'm just like
yeah.
I'm. You know, and even during that time, I'm actually like even more so appreciating our firstborn because
yeah.
I know that this other thing is going to be in our lives.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm going to be giving them my undivided, unconditional
yeah.
love as well. But
yeah.
like you almost, you know, I saw Oliver in like a different lens, right? That like, oh man, like this kid's going to have a brother. We're going to be
yeah.
like busier. And like I want to give him like more attention.
Right.
And I remember I used to tell you, I was like, when this kid is born, I'm going to be Oliver's dad and you're going to be Jack's mom.
Yeah, like, but it's like kind of like that.
It is kind of like that.
No, not actually.
Yeah.
But like for example, this past weekend, Jack was sick for like a week. And the entire weekend, like we can't keep Oliver in the house. Like he's like an unhinged four-year-old. Like he needs space. So Noah basically like took him out all weekend for beach time and play dates and whatnot, and I was home with Jack.
Yep.
And that's just how it is sometimes.
Yep.
I mean, the main reason for that is like Jack's kind of very clingy to me, and I also feel like I feel like with when it comes to like a baby, like maybe like I'm a little bit more in tune to like how like what Jack needs as a baby. Like, how do you feel about that?
That's 100% true. I mean,
yeah.
you know, with Oliver, like when we were, you know, the firstborn, I feel like the parents are like very in it together.
Yeah.
Like, you know, at least that was our experience.
Yeah.
Like, we were very much in it together.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I quickly learned like what's his schedule, when does he eat, what does he eat?
Yeah.
You know, what things to look out for, stuff like that. And I feel like with Jack, or I should say the time between that and then when Jack was born, that's what you forget. Right.
Yeah, you forget the baby fees. You forget
stick,
the baby fees as a mom,
stick with
too.
You.
Yeah.
The feeding schedule, the formula, the this, the that. You don't remember it anymore. And then, like, with Jack, it's like, I'm sort of tending to Oliver, and you're doing the stuff for Jack. So, like, anytime I need to do it, I'm like, what do I need to do again?
Yeah.
You know, I catch on, but, like,
yeah
you're way more in tune
yeah.
with what Jack needs. And
yeah.
because you're just naturally with him more of the time,
yeah.
he's more clingy.
He's very clingy to me. What would you... for like any of like the moms listening that maybe are like first time parents or second time parents or pregnant right now. And like, what do you think their husbands are thinking right now? Like, how do dads feel before a baby is born? Because like you were saying before, how like moms have that chemical hormonal connection if you are carrying the baby. And like, we kind of feel like mothers right away because like we have the baby inside of us, if that's the case. So how do you feel?
Yeah, the struggle is like, you know, as a, I don't know if it's a male thing, whatever, you know, but it's like, I want to be able to support this family, give them whatever is needed.
Yeah.
Right. And
from an emotional,
financially, okay. All of it. Just okay. Like, you know, I want, you know, is that like, am I going to be able to give 100% of all of those like critical categories?
Yeah.
In this, you know, in this world, right? And especially, I mean, you know, now is probably, yeah. I can only imagine how scary it could be bringing a child into the world right now.
Yeah.
Just with, you know, everything being expensive and inflation and other craziness that's going on.
Yeah.
But like, for me, with both kids, it was just, are, you know, am I internally, like, and mentally, am I ready to support
yeah.
other people in this way,
yeah.
right? Because it's like, there's no one yeah. else, right?
Like
it's
you me. Have this like mindset of like, I'm the patriarchy of this family.
Yeah.
Like I want to like protect and love and support this. Like, so like you're kind of the whole time you have this like, it's more of like an anxious thing. Like, can I do this?
Correct. That's definitely how I felt.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's how a lot of fathers to be feel, or like you in general, because you, like me, have very high anxiety. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's a very natural response, like feeling like the leader of the family, like, am I going to be able to support this family? I feel like that makes yeah. a lot of sense to me.
And the other struggle was sleep.
Well, yeah.
So, and that's obvious.
Obviously.
But, you know, for anyone listening, if you ask my parents, I was the best sleeper as a baby. Like, they had to wake me up to feed me. That's, you know, I mean, that's like a parent's dream.
Yeah.
But that,
we didn't,
you know,
have that.
Yeah. And that I guess I carried that through life. I mean, growing up in elementary school, high school, I mean, like, I would be taking naps after school. I would conk out on the couch for like an hour and a half
you
after school.
You still could do, you still
I know,
do
I
that.
Can. I could fall asleep anywhere. I mean, I'm a little bit more antsy these days where, you know, I don't know if it's like a dad thing, but like, I'm at a point where I can't sit still for that long, where
yeah.
I feel like I need to like do something
yeah.
around the
no,
house.
No, I'm
like,
the same. Oh,
do
yeah.
some sort of a project, like,
oh, yeah.
you know what I mean? Fix,
yeah.
you know, fix something or go like
yeah.
run to, you know, Home Depot or
no,
whatever.
Like, Noah is that stereotypical dad that I never thought he would be, walking around the house with the toolbox, being like, I have to go to Home Depot.
Going to Home Depot is basically like going to Target.
I don't feel, I do
that's,
not
that's
feel
that's what it becomes. Like, you go to Target and like Target tells you what you need versus like you going there knowing what you need.
Yeah.
Home Depot's the same exact effect.
Yeah.
Maybe not for everyone, but I could
way.
Walk in there and I could think of like, all right, what else could I spend my money on that, you know, I may or may not need right now. And it's great.
I would.
There's like something in the air in that store. It's just like, oh man, I could spend time in here.
I don't have that connection to Home Depot,
yeah.
but I'm glad that you do.
Yeah.
I'm glad you have your safe space.
But going back to the sleep though, it's just that like, I legitimately, I'm not kidding. Like when we were going to have Oliver, I was so anxious about sleep in general. Like I actually think it became an anxiety thing where like if we weren't in bed by a certain time,
yeah.
I would like count the amount of hours I had to sleep before I had to wake up.
I
to
do
work.
That now.
I don't do it. I don't even do it as much now.
I
really
it.
Don't.
Oh
I don't
my
know.
God,
I really,
do
I've gotten, I don't know if it's like the pandemic. Like I've just gotten so used to just
yeah.
like whatever and having kids and being up early all the time anyway. But I legitimately was like scared that like, am I going to be able to like actually wake up for these kids? Like I was legitimately anxious that like my sleep was so important to me for so long. Of course it still is, but like I was just scared that like
yeah.
I wouldn't be able to function like
yeah.
as a human being, like at work and all that, if I didn't have like, you know, 8 to 9 hours
yeah.
of sleep every single night. And like that was legit. I was really concerned. I was
yeah.
like that's how like
yeah.
important sleep was to me for most of my life.
Yeah.
And some people are like that. Some people could sleep for 5-6 hours and function even less.
Yeah.
I wasn't like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's definitely changed up because then when you get into the routine
yeah.
of waking up early all the time, like you just get used
yeah.
to it. And now it's like, I like being up early because
yeah.
you kind of get a lot done in the beginning of the day. Because by the time it's like 2 o'clock, you're counting down the hours of like, all right, how many hours until we can put our kids to sleep?
Yeah.
And like, then it's like the end of the night.
Yeah, literally. But like, I also think, I think the lack of sleep was so much harder the first time around because you hadn't, you have no idea what to expect. But like, also when you're in it, you're in it, you're like, you're exhausting, you're tired. And then you like look back and you're like, wow, how did I do that? That was a black hole. But then I think the second time around, it's, you know what to expect and it's less daunting and you know that there's light at the end of the tunnel. Like, you know, in X amount of months that you will be sleeping. The sleep is near. You can taste it.
So one thing I would tell myself with the second, because the first was definitely very difficult. And it really is just like, you almost kind of black it out later on.
Yeah.
It's such a blur. I would tell myself that in like the middle of the night, we were like with Jack and it was like, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, we've been up several times, we've barely gotten any sleep. I would literally tell myself in that moment, like feeding him in the rocking chair or something, like, I'm not even gonna remember this tomorrow. Like, I almost coach myself through it that like, this is almost like a dream. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and there was something about having gone through it already, like, and knowing what to expect. And telling myself that in those moments, that would almost help a little bit.
Yeah.
Just be like, eh, this is almost like I'm kind of half asleep right now, so whatever. And then like the next morning, and then literally all of a sudden the next day or the next night, you're like, when were we up last night? Like, what happened?
What did you say to me? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was also different. It was a different experience in general. But yeah. But what tips would you give for new dads?
Yeah. So I actually have someone on my team at work who just welcomed their new son. And I told him, I said, cause he was like, you know, concerned about the sleeping and all that stuff. And I said, you just do it, you know, like don't,
you just do it.
There's no way to prep for it. Just know that, like, again, like I mentioned before, some sort of a switch just turns on and you just do it. And just like, this human being has no other resource to take care of them other than you and your wife. Right.
Yeah.
And like, that's going to click.
Yeah.
And you just do it. And like, you get through it. And then all of a sudden 3-4 months goes by and you're like, what just happened?
Yeah.
And then it becomes, you know, every stage has its own set of challenges, whether it's infant, you know, newborn, infant, toddler.
Yeah.
You know, and all the way up to at least where we are with Oliver, where it becomes like not listening and all that fun stuff. But kind of the tip that I gave kind of jokingly is like, yeah, what you can do is just like set like random alarms in your room at different random times, whether it's like 20 minutes from now, 30, 45, hour, right?
And before the baby's
born. And it has to be different every single day, and just do that before the day is born. If you get used to that, you're good.
Literally. So now we're moving on to our Dear Betches Mom segment. I guess today it's Dear Betches Dads, but... Hi, Betches Moms, a Betches Dad here. My wife loves your podcast and always has it on when we are in the car, so by default, I listen as well. But I actually enjoy all of the advice. My question is about gentle parenting. My wife always interjects when I'm parenting my 3-year-old daughter, and I find it really frustrating. I understand it's frustrating for her because she wants us on the same page, but I feel like she's just parenting me. Do you have any advice on how I can handle the situation so it doesn't turn into a fight in a situation that's already stressful? Thank you, a Betches Dad.
Oh man, this hits so many nerves in my body right now. Whoever wrote this, I think you ghost wrote this for me. No way. Man, yeah, I mean, that happens all the time. And I do, I feel the same way. I gotta admit, I mean, I admittedly feel the same way. It's tough to not like to implement the tough parenting and tough love and, you know.
But what's tough love? Like, what are, like, what, like, you do you think that, like, yelling and timeouts is like the way to get to a child, or like
to a degree. I think it's also probably like how it's used as like a tool. I mean, am I the perfect parent and I do that perfectly in every way? No, but I do feel like there is an element of like, you know, showing them, you know, and again, like I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going based off of like, you know, how I was raised, how.
So, like, the whole gentle parenting idea is that you're using positive reinforcements and you're being in tune with your child's feelings, and they don't have the toolbox to tell us how they're feeling
when
they're frustrated. So, it's kind of like getting on their level, but, like, I think that there's something to letting your child try to express themselves in a calm manner. Like if, you know, Oliver's having his tantrum, let him have his tantrum. And when he calms down, bringing him into like an area where he could maybe tell you why he's feeling a certain way and why he did something.
Sure. But like, but if we're somewhere and like, you know, he's hit someone for the third time or like if he hits me, like I'm not like, oh, like, are you feeling some feelings right now? It's just kind of like, yo, dude, like, no, absolutely not. Get like, and then I pull him out of there. And like, no, like, I may yell at him. It's just my instinct.
I mean, I yell too sometimes. And I think that's like different though, because like when you see your child being aggressive and hitting, like that's hard. And I think that's something we've definitely spoken about on the podcast. We've spoken about it with Dr. Becky before. And it's like hard because a child, again, like they get so frustrated, they're using their hands because they don't know how to use their words. But it's embarrassing as a parent when you're like on a playground and they're hitting a child and you're like, oh shit, like this again. And I think it's easy to kind of like lose your cool. I do too. But like, what's your feelings behind gentle parenting in general, even though like you might not be able to follow it all the time? But do you feel like if you practiced it more, is it something you could get behind?
I think based on what this guy wrote is that like I think that there needs to be a, rather than it just happening in the moment, there needs to be a conversation between the parents, between you and I, right? That like when this type of scenario happens, like maybe this conversation happens after something has happened already. Yeah. It's like in the future, let's agree to handle it in this way and see how it goes.
Yeah.
There needs to be like an alignment on like basically a strategy on like how you're going to handle situations like moving forward and not just like let it happen again and then the two of you get into a fight.
Right.
Right. I mean, those moments still may be inevitable, but like I think there just needs to be a conversation about like if our kid is having a temper tantrum over a lollipop or, you know, not being kind to his brother or like just, you know, there's like, let's align and how are we going to handle those scenarios so that like neither of us lose our cool and hopefully there's a good result that comes from it. So I think that's the advice is just you and your wife need to have a conversation on those scenarios.
Yes, that's the answer to the email. But then going on to the topic of gentle parenting,
I think there's a time and place for it. I do. I agree. We've talked about it before, and I do like some of the tactics. Do I agree that it's like a one size fits all for every single scenario? No, I don't. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think there needs to be tough love in scenarios where the children like need to see that like, you know, that they've done something that's caused a chain reaction in the home with the people that they love.
What's tough love?
I mean, when I'm talking more like, you know, the timeouts, the, you know, taking, you know, no TV, like that type of stuff, and like really sticking to no iPad, like just.
But the no iPad, no TV, that's not tough love. That's, I think that's normal. I think that's, I would think that kind of goes into gentle parenting.
Maybe tough love is an aggressive label for what I'm saying, but like, you know,
like sometimes you just need to yell.
Like sometimes, you need sometimes to raise your voice. If it's just not getting through, and like, you know, and like it, you know, I don't think there's a, if it's right or wrong to yell at a child, but like, I think sometimes if it just feels right in the moment to like raise your voice because, you know,
sometimes as a parent, you lose your cool.
But if it's for good reason.
For good reason.
If they've done something extremely bad that could have hurt someone, that could have hurt you, could have hurt themselves, whatever. Agreed. Like if it's that, it's just like, call it losing your cool. But sometimes you need to like really get your point across. Yeah. Not that you should just always be yelling at your kid.
Well, if there's an issue where safety is involved, like for example, let me give a perfect example. The other day, since Jack has been sick, Oliver's kind of been begging for attention in different ways. And he picked up a toy truck that was pretty heavy and he threw it at our dog and it basically like kind of hit her and it almost hit Jack. And that was a situation where that made me incredibly nervous. I was upset that he was being so aggressive of like that he would actually go to hurt someone. Where like I raised my voice and I brought him to an area and I he did not get TV. I think that was like the most mad I've ever been at him, because I was generally upset with how unsafe he was being and how bad that could have ended up. And I needed him to understand how dangerous that was.
Yeah.
And I think he really understood. Like, he asked for the TV and we were like, no. And he kind of didn't make a big deal about it. Like, I think he...
No, he kind of followed me around the kitchen for about an hour. So he wants to watch. You're going, watch? Watch?
Like, you know, yeah, but he wasn't throwing a tantrum for the TV. I think he really... I think he understood why we took the TV away.
Yeah. And he was asking for, like, a treat before bed, and he said no,
and he kind of was like okay about it. Yeah, I think he really knew how upset we were in that situation, because that I didn't like that it was a situation that just was not safe. And I feel like there's always, like you were saying, there's never one size fits all, and there's always case scenarios where you need to be more stern, you need to get your point across of like, that was not safe and we could never ever do that again. It seems like, I feel like we never had like this in depth of a conversation about like your views on parenting and like how you felt like coming into the role of being a dad. But like, it's interesting because I feel like it's like not so different. Like things are, I feel like a lot of times we like talk about, oh, it's like this being a mom. And like, look, there are things that definitely like are different. Just like we were saying before, where I feel like I kind of like take this role of like being the default parent for the kids and stuff like that. But there's a lot of similar anxieties and frustrations when it comes to parenting and becoming a new parent and all of that. But I think this was like a really fun conversation, and I'm glad we got to have it, and I hope everybody enjoyed it. How did you feel about like talking about all that?
No, it was, I mean, I don't think we've, like you said, I don't think we've ever like really, you know, peeled back the onion on like what it's like parenting our kids.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we are in it every single day, but yeah, I mean, even listening to this podcast and, you know, the struggles that moms do go through. I mean, the dads, while, you know, I think the perspective is that like we have it easier, mm-hmm. right? And like we probably do, or we do. I mean, look, we didn't birth the kid, but like that's number one. Obviously, there's that. But, and I know every parenting situation is different, but there, you know, we have our own set of struggles and anxieties going through it, and being able to provide and, you know, being aligned with your wife on things.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just being able to, you know, love the hell out of every kid that you have. There's a lot that comes with it, but yeah, this was a very different conversation for you and I.
I know, but it was fun. I liked it.
Yeah, me too.
And also, let me end this by saying, I'm going to say this publicly, but Noah is an amazing father. He is so hands-on. He's always playing with the kids, and he is always there for them. And I'm so appreciative that you divide roles with me very equally. And I feel like we have a very equal household for the most part, and I'm very appreciative of that. And my kids are very lucky to have you.
Well, they're lucky to have you as their... their mom. I mean, you're an incredible mother.
And, thank you.
I think a lot of that has to do with my father. My father was very hands-on in my household growing up. And, you know, I think a lot of that comes from that experience. I'm thankful for that. So,
yeah.
But I am, you know, it's been a wild ride with you, and there's a lot more to go.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode of the Betches Moms podcast. Don't forget to rate, review, and to follow us on Apple and Spotify, and to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram. And if you DM us, you have any questions, it's going to be me responding. So let us know if you have any questions. And remember, there are no rules on this podcast. I'm not like a regular mom.
I'm a cool dad, right, Regina?
We stop talking.
The Betches Moms podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong. Social media by Brittany Levine. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram and send us your emails to moms@betches.com. Betches.